Time now for a look at the week in sports with our very own Tony Cox. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Farai. Hey, Farai, you went to Harvard, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what did you think of their basketball program?
Well, let's see. I went to the Harvard-Yale football game. I watched the regatta on the Charles. But I'll be perfectly honest, I never saw a basketball game.
You know what? A lot of other people didn't see them either because they really weren't worth watching. And that's why Harvard has been trying lately to lift the profile of its basketball program by raising its athletic standards. But the question is, at what cost? And that is what we're talking about today with New York Times sports columnist Bill Roten. So, hey, Bill, how you doing?
The great Tony Cox. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. You know, this seems to be about Harvard's tradition of academic standards versus its new aspirations for athletic achievement. Simply put, they want to win an Ivy League basketball title, something they've done only, well, never. The Crimson hired a new coach last year, Tommy Amaker, as we all know, an African-American who had had winning teams at Seton Hall and Michigan. So what does he do? Well, Bill, he starts recruiting ball players who may or may not meet Harvard's strict academic standards. And that's when things got a little strange, didn't they? Your paper, in fact, the New York Times, wrote a piece a few weeks ago kind of blasting Amaker and the program. So where do things stand now?
Yeah, well, you know, Pete Dammel, who was a really excellent reporter, did the story and wrote the story and broke the story. And after that, one of their recruits, big 7-foot kid, decided he's not going to Harvard, is threw his name back in the larger shark tank. And, you know, Tony, it raises a lot of interesting questions about this whole idea of special admits, which, as you know, every university has what they call special admits. That is, kids who have, you know, unique talents, be they music or arts or drama or whatever, and they may not necessarily fit the profile of your sort of typical student, but the administration feels that they can do the work, and B, they've got gifts that are unique. I think the rub is always when you deal with athletics. You know, people say, well, I don't know, should athletics be recognized? And you're right. And Harvard, you know, they're about to get an African-American as president of the United States. They say, well, why can't we win the Ivy League championship?
Maybe they need to get Barack to come back and play with
and
them.
He can't play, and Barack can't play basketball.
That's what I understand. All right, let's move on to talk about college basketball and the tournament, which kicks off this weekend. You know, everybody's talking about the top seeds, UCLA, North Carolina, Kansas, Memphis. But there are stories behind the stories every year. What's a good one this year?
I like there's so many of them. And where I am out east, Baylor is playing. 5 years ago, Baylor was just one of the awful tragedies in college basketball. Patrick Dennehy was murdered, found shot in the head, and as it turns out, one of his teammates was accused and convicted of doing it. It was just awful. Well, the coach, Dave Bliss, was fired, and turns out that he had been paying almost $40,000 to his athletes, and it was just an awful scene. Well, here they are, you know, 5 years later, and they're in the NCAA tournament, probably for a brief amount of time, but they're back. And it's a curious story, Tony. I mean, just like we talked about Harvard, now we talk about, you know, wanting to win. Now we talk about Baylor coming back, and you kind of wonder what is so important about having this, you know, basketball piece in your university that keeping the program through tragedies. And Baylor is I think, a very good non-basketball story.
Interesting story. Talking about other stories, let's go from the big round ball to the little white ball that people knock in those holes every day around the country and around the world. Can you believe, Bill, Tiger Woods? I mean, last weekend, he won his 5th straight PGA Tour win. He did it in remarkable fashion, coming back from 6 strokes, I think, to win on Sunday at Bay Hill by 1 stroke. Now, if he wins this weekend at Doral, he will pass the legendary Ben Hogan with 65 Tour victories, and then he can set his sights on Augusta, which comes up next. Now, the streak is still owned by Byron Nelson at 11, but Tiger's getting closer, so there's Nelson, Nicklaus, and Hogan. But is it still too early to say that we are now seeing the best there ever was in Tiger Woods?
Tony, no. I think you could already say that. Tiger is the best golfer that's ever played the game, period. going beyond that without gushing too much, he dominates his sport like no other athlete has dominated his or her sport. I think it's hands down, and it's just a matter of time before he passes everybody. I think that by the time Tiger Woods decides to say, I don't want to play anymore, he will have set so many records that it's probably going to take, I'd say, maybe a couple generations of golfers to come close to surpassing him. I mean, it's, you begin to run out of words to describe what this man has done in this sport.
He's almost as good a golfer as you are a sports writer. Ain't that right?
Oh, Tony, you're so kind.
Bill Roden, we always love having you on the show. We'll talk to you again.
Hey, thanks, Tony.
That was NPR's Tony Cox speaking with our regular sports commentator, William C. Roden. Roden is a sports columnist for the New York Times and author of Third and a Mile, The Trials and Triumphs of the Black Quarterback.